Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. To rise up everybody and burn down, burn down the system. Pay up the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another awesome episode of the Star Chamber Show. We are Stayla Janelle and Alex Brown, and we are here to talk about books tonight. We have the excellent guest, Jerry Benz, talking to you tonight about publishing, about anthologies, about all sorts of cool stuff. It is our 50th episode, ladies and gentlemen, and a year anniversary for Jerry first appearing on the show. This is going to be awesome. First off, some announcements, and then a new brand spanking new segment for y'all. If you have not heard of this little convention called Imaginarium, it is going to be September 11th through the 13th. If you are interested in writing, genre fiction, books, any sort of writing at all, you want to be there. So check out entertheimaginarium.com. We have some new things on the Seven Star Press front. R.J. Sullivan has a new release, Darkness with a Chance of Whimsy, a collection of short stories. It is out. You should get it. Several of us are going to be out and about, so if you want to meet us, you can catch us at different places. I will be at the Grove City Wine Festival in Ohio on Saturday. I'll be appearing with the Midwestern Authors Syndicate, so there will be a bunch of us there. There is wine there. Of course you want to be there. Hypericon. Stephen Zimmer is going to be rocking that convention. Stephen Shrewsbury has a release party for his new book, Born of Swords. If you like sword and sorcery, you will want to meet this dude and get his book. There's also going to be Peter Welmerink, J.L. Mulvihill, Jackie Gamber, David Blaylock. There's so many awesome seven-star people there. Like, you should go to Hypericon as well, and that is this weekend, too. Let's see. Alex, you have some things going on, don't you?
I do. Actually, this weekend I have BayouCon, which is in Sulphur, Louisiana. This is going to be about year five for me, somewhere about there. Anyway, normally it's in Lake Charles, Louisiana, but this is their first year in Sulphur, so I will be returning to that. And normally it tends to be a pretty good signing for the Southern Haunts books, as well as my novel Cerinthia Falls and Traumatized. And so this will also be the first time I will have a State of Horror book on my table, which I'm excited about. And since it's State of Horror, Louisiana, I'm pretty certain it'll go over fairly well at that convention. So I have that coming up. And then also I have a book signing coming up on the 11th of July here in Vicksburg, Mississippi at the Warren County Public Library.
Man, you are busy. My goodness, dude. Good for you. You've got a lot going on. We all have a lot going on. It is that time of year. But tonight, we are actually going to be, we talked about this today, and we want to debut a new segment for the show really quick before we introduce our awesome guest. It occurred to us that we talk a lot about writing, but we should also talk about the things that we're into. So tonight, Alex Brown, what are you reading?
Well, actually, I'm reading a few things. And even the work piece that I'm reading is a pleasurable piece to read. At the moment, I am getting a lot of information out of the book, The Art of Asking by Amanda Palmer.
I'm actually reading that as well. So yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And I've taken to heart a lot of the suggestions she's given about working with social media on there. And I've applied those, and I've seen that since I've done this, my following has increased on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And so for those who are looking to approach a marketing sense in the independent world, this is a really great opportunity to do so. Other than that, I'm reading a short story at the moment, and I'm actually editing it at the same time. I normally don't do this, but it's a friend of mine who is just now getting into the process of writing, and I'm not going to really give any spoilers away on the name or anything such as that, but you can expect something probably in the near future where it's going to be something Alex Brown has edited.
Yeah, very cool.
I am reading a short story also called The Unfortunate, and it's a werewolf novel. You can find it on Amazon.com. Well, I'm sorry, not a novel. It's a werewolf short story. You can find it on Amazon.com, and pretty much it's a futuristic werewolf novel. So I keep saying novel. It's a futuristic werewolf story, and that's by J.M. Reese.
Very cool. Well, I'm like you. I read stacks and stacks of stuff at once, so I'll try to keep it short, but I'm really excited about it. I've just started The Art of Asking, so I'm not to where you are yet, but and I want to take it slow so I can really kind of absorb it because I think I'm really ready for that kind of a book. I've also started, I love nonfiction. I just got Life's That Way by Jim Beaver last night from the library, and I've just started it, and I sort of skimmed ahead a little bit, and oh my, like tissues. I need tissues. I'm going to cry my way through that book. It is this chronicle of him losing his wife from cancer, and there are real-time emails that he sent out nightly to update his friends and family, and he has compiled them in a book, and it's amazing. It's very touching. But I just started that. I just read last night, I don't know if you'd call it an illustrated novel or more of a graphic novel, but it's great. The Gigantic Beard That Was Evil by Stephen Collins. It's this trippy little book. It's the illustrations are beautiful. It's kind of this weird, weird little story about this island called Here, and everyone's afraid of There, which is not here, and everything is neat and perfect. And, you know, of course, the message is sometimes it's okay to not be neat and perfect. So that's pretty cool. The one I'm really super excited about, though, is The Scarlet Gospels by Clive Barker. And I know I've been texting you all this week about it. I love this book. I'm not finished yet. I'm to the point where they've gotten into hell. And that's not really giving away much, believe me. But from the get-go, the beginning of this book is so amazing. Like, you can tell Clive Barker has director's experience because this beginning prologue is such a perfect sequence. I mean, it does harken back to his horror work, but let me tell you, this is the work of a mature author who has taken his horror work, taken his world building, taken his fantasy, taken all the gore and the sex and the stuff that you associate with him and blended it into the story. Just is so good. I mean, I don't even know what to call this because I really think this is something that's starting to transcend a lot of genre stuff. It's fabulous. I'm really excited about where it's going. I cannot wait to get back to it. And for those of us who are listening and following along, we want to hear what you are reading. So either tell us in the chat room, post it to our Facebook page, Star Chamber Show, at Star Chamber. Go ahead and tweet us, hashtag #mreading. If you're really ambitious, post a selfie of you in the book. I put one up. That's me, because I always joke that Clive Barker is really a relaxing read for me, so I'm reading it in bed with my wolf Fenrir. And, literally, it takes me forever to read him, because it's just relaxing. It makes me fall asleep, and I feel great, and I feel like I must be a sick person that reacts to his work this way. But it's very therapeutic for me. So that's what I'm reading.
Also, I think what we really need to do is try to urge everyone, when you post a selfie or what you are reading on the Star Chamber show, go ahead and just put it in there at the little at mark, Star Chamber Show. That's all you have to do, at Star Chamber Show. Do the hashtag am reading, and let's see what you got.
Yeah, make them fun. You can just do the book if you want, or you can be with the book. Let's just make this fun, and let's talk about, you know, what are we reading? So, and that way we're all connected as well. All right, it's time to bring in our guest. He is awesome. He is a really first-class publisher of, you know, we've been having this conversation on Messenger. That's okay. Karan Coin Press. I love the press. I'm terrible with weird language words, so I always make up how they're pronounced, so that's why I had to ask. Karan Coin Press. They do the excellent State of Horror anthology series. He has a lot of different projects, and this is a gentleman who is so good with, you know, volunteer work and fundraising as well. I love talking to him. He is a hoot. We are very lucky to have him here for our 50th episode. Let us bring on Mr. Jerry Benz.
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Sounds like everybody's reading up a lot of books tonight, and it sounds really, it's a lot of fun to kind of catch up with what other people are reading. I kind of see that. It's a neat segment.
Yeah, thank you. Thought that would be fun. What are you reading, mister?
It seems like this is a occupational hazard. I don't read one thing. I read a lot of things. So I kind of split it up a little bit. One of the things I'm almost finished, and I actually need to cut time out this week to finish, is a Crimson Hearts Death Dance, book one.
Nice.
Been enjoying that book and looking forward to the next release. And I'm also reading, I'm a huge Jim Butcher fan.
Missouri Boy himself.
So the Dresden, reading the most recent Dresden Files book, Skin Game. And I no spoilers. then the other thing that it seems that I'm reading a lot of is a selection copies. And that's a lot of stories. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's like all you do, isn't it? Is just read all the time.
I catch it every moment that I can. We have a fun process on how to do the selections, but it takes a little bit of time to do so. So it's
right.
It's been carrying around our selection copies and reading them as often as we can.
Well, it is really awesome to have you on the show tonight talking about how it is to be a publisher, an editor, and an author. And, of course, you do have to read a lot to be one of those three things or all of those three things. It just kind of comes along with the territory. You have the pleasure reading, then the work reading, and the work reading most of the time turns into pleasure reading. And the very first question I want to throw at you, and I hope you're wearing your, you know, baseball helmet or whatever. What are the steps in editing an anthology, and what are the steps to publish? What is the difference between those two and getting everything prepared and taken care of?
Oh, well, that's not exactly an easy question to answer. The editing process seems like, when you're in the middle of it, takes forever. But at the same time, it goes by so fast at other points. So the steps on the editing process is, once the stories are selected and we get into editing, there's generally a first pass. Those go out to the authors. For Karan Coin Press, one of the things that we wanted to do, and as our philosophy when we started, was that this is a partnership, actually, with not only the author and the press, but also the reader. So it's kind of one of those things where we kind of try to incorporate everything in it. So we go back and forth and work with the authors. And I think, Alex, you might have had a little experience with that once or twice with us on the State of Horror series.
Yeah.
But it's not just one pass. It keeps going through until everybody's happy with the story and they feel comfortable with it. And then after that point, then we turn it over to the proof stage. It's pre-beta. And this is where we go through, since we've been looking at the story so much, you kind of miss a few things. So then we bring in what we call the red team. And the red team hasn't seen the stories. So they get a chance to look at it with fresh eyes. And there's a couple people on those range. And then we get into the actual formatting process. So that's kind of our editing process on the anthology. The second part of your question is, what are the steps of publishing? This one's a little bit easier to answer. For the anthology piece, it's open it up for submissions. We do not read anything until submission closes, and all of our reads and selection are complete blind reads. I don't know who writes the stories, nor do anybody who's on the selection team. We have another person who puts it all together, removes the names out, formats everything exactly the same, and prints us and hands us a book. And that's, so we go through, it's almost like a celebration of once we pick the stories for the anthology, then we have kind of a party where we go through and see whose name's attached to the stories that we loved. So that's for us, it kind of is, makes it more of an event here, and it also helps us pick stories based off the stories and not just off of, you know, do we know this person? Or I had a great conversation yesterday with them, so we don't even know who they are.
That's really cool. It's a good, nice, fair way to do that, too. So that's really refreshing to hear, honestly.
It's fun, but I'm sure it's frustrating for us.
No, I'm sure.
On the very first round of, I think it was starting with Illinois, we started to read the stories when they came in, and then we had all the stories at the end, and then we went through and went, did I read this? So we had to scrap everything, put it all in, had somebody else strip them out, and gave it to us blind. And it worked. And so now we don't even look at a story until after the close. It goes into a folder, and somebody else actually handles those. And that somebody
very
else
cool.
is generally Christine, my wife. She does this great, really great job of getting everything together on that.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure she has her work cut out for a while with how much stuff you guys have been doing. Now, you guys have also gotten into audiobooks with the State of Horror anthologies. So what are some of the available titles, and where can they be downloaded?
Well, we have two of them that are out. One just came out in the past week. The first one that came out in February, March, was State of Horror, Illinois. And it's unabridged. For those who like the longer ones, it's close. I think it's like between 8 to 9.5 hours. It's voiced over by great voice talent, Jack Wallen. He's also doing most of the books that are in the series. At this time, all of them are all scheduled on his plate. But then this week, we had the New Jersey, State of Horror, New Jersey, that was released, and that just came out Sunday. And they're available at iTunes, Amazon, and Audible.
That's so cool.
Awesome. Now, with the State of Horror books, being one of the authors in Louisiana Volume 1, I have a good idea of what you're looking for. But for Missouri, of course, every state is different, so every state's going to have different themes, so on and so forth. And I was just wondering, for State of Horror Missouri, what are you looking for and what are you not looking for when you read over submissions?
Well, State of Horror Missouri is kind of a special one for us, because that's actually our home state. We're located in Missouri. I grew up here. Most of the team did.
Yep.
We're in the St. Louis area. So, you know, it seems, if you live in the St. Louis area, you forget there's another part of the state.
Yeah, you do. I used to live near there. So, yeah, definitely.
I've traveled in a lot, so I've had a chance to explore a lot of different areas, and there's so many different culture and different things in Missouri.
Yeah.
But kind of what we're looking for, what I've been looking for in Missouri, is the good feel, not the typical. And that's one of the things that happens. I think there's only so many stories you can have, you know, about one subject. And in Missouri, there's a wide range of different geography, cultures. There's folklore. We have somewhat of a Bigfoot folklore that's there. There's a lot of caves, similar to in Tennessee. There was also a lot of caves in that. There's, you know, turn of the century, Industrial Revolution. From growing up here, it seems like every third house is a haunted house. If it's existed for more than 50 years, it's haunted. And with the breweries that we've had and some of the other big, huge, large homes in the St. Louis area, there's so many different haunted house and folklore that's around that. Plus, you go to the northern part and you have more of the rural farming kind of folklore. Southern, you have the Ozark Mountains. So there's so much diversity that can happen in Missouri. And the good storytelling is the key. I was doing a selection, and this was on one of our previous releases, and I forgot that I was doing a selection. I was reading it and got so into the story that when I got to the last page of it, I want more. And those are those moments that we do get kind of often, and that's kind of what builds these books. What are we not looking for? I guess it's kind of, there's one of the things that I've seen pop up occasionally is the more extreme kind of horror, bizarro. We do have anthologies that stuff like that will come about, but the state of horror is more or less one of those that's kind of a fun, it's a tourist guide. And kind of think about what you would feel or the kind of the mode or tempo that you would have if you're exploring a new place, because that's what our readers are doing.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. It was almost like it's a road trip across the country through like different folklore and different thoughts on different areas through books, which is why, I mean, I love this series. I think it's a really interesting way to experience all the different states.
And that's, we've gotten to, and I've seen it in some of our materials and posts, we kind of refer to it as the next stop on the tour. And we kind of, our class, kind of looking at it is, where do we want to visit next? So those are it's kind of getting that same feel for us around the office.
That's really, yeah, I think it's a fabulous idea. I definitely love those books. I can't wait for Missouri to see what happens with Missouri. Now, you're known for the State of Horror series, but you also do other anthologies, including the upcoming release of Pain the Ferryman. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Oh, Pain the Ferryman. This one here has been a lot of fun. It's edited by Margie Colton. And
right.
We were talking a year ago. It was about a little over a year ago. We were sitting and talking about, let's do something that's neat. It kind of ties in with the name. We came up with the name. We reached out to Natasha Altarisi, that did the illustrations for the covers of the State of Horror, and said, this is our idea. And she came up with this amazing-looking cover illustration that I can't wait to see this, hold that in my hand on the book. And the stories in the book, the theme is the main characters are dead. So it's after
that's
death.
Really fun.
So, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to see how readers take to this, because every one of these has a different feel and a different take on what happens to somebody after they die. It's not, you know, are they paying for their crimes that they did in life? Is it something that they're pining for someone? What is it, and what world comes after? So it's a lot of fun with that. It's hopefully, we're in the process right now. It should be coming out towards the later part of summer. And we have we've been really excited about getting things going, because we've already started the process of looking towards the voice talent so we can do the audio books of these and get those out to the market. We got some promotional campaigns that are coming out and some great names. And there's one I want to kind of point out that's in here, because with all the selections that we had one author that came in and had a really neat story. And we sent out the thing, the offers, and we received a response back from their parent. And we find out that this amazing story that was like on the pick list, went high up on the pick list when we were going through, was actually written by a teenager.
That's
and
awesome.
It was an amazing storytelling ability for somebody who did that. So we have it's kind of a unique story that will be coming out, and kind of a unique author who somebody to definitely keep an eye out on in the future.
Nice. Yeah, that's one thing I've started to notice. You're seeing a lot more young adults who are starting to submit into anthologies. And the thing is, their work is pretty good. So for anyone out there who's listening that's 18 and under, don't be afraid to throw your submission at an anthology if it meets the guidelines. Now, the next question I have for you is, what are some of the upcoming books that we can expect from your company this year?
We have quite a few on the list going, and many in process. We have some. We have Pain the Ferryman, which will be next up. We have a couple more State of Horrors that will be coming out this year. Tennessee is in process right now as far as getting through the editing, so we should hopefully see that probably early fall. California will be out later on this year as well. Then we've been working in the background trying to – we have three single author releases coming out, and one of them will be coming out this late summer as well. It's a collection of stories by Carl R. Moore, and it's Slash of Crimson and Other Tales. And this is one of those things that started with a novella, and we went back and said, we really like the story. Can you build some more worlds around this? And what he came back with is really a lot of fun. It's very much in the horror genre, and it kind of touches base in a lot of different worlds, a lot of different genres, so I think this will be something that's well-rounded for the audience. We have another author, single author release, Thomas Long. He has a book coming out this year. It's the first book in a series, and it's Castle of Shadow. Urban Fantasy is actually set in the St. Louis area. And then we have a couple new anthologies, one of which is Carpe Noctum. It's Truly, Madly, Deeply. It's an anthology. It's a paranormal romance. And this one kind of has a little bit of a background story on it. Margie Golden came to me and said, I really want to do this anthology. I said, great. It's all you, because I don't read a lot of paranormal romance. And then we brought in Siobhan Kincaid, and the two of them started to get together. And then it started taking off. And the submissions that came in were very good. And so they've been going back and forth and back and forth. And they came to me and proposed. They said, look, here's our selections. And then they said, and then here's our selections for a second book that we want to do out of the same one. So this turned in from one anthology into two second anthologies. So it's going to be fun seeing those come out over the next few months as they're going back, and we should be announcing this week the POC on those.
Cool. That's exciting. That's very cool. That's definitely a different I was really interested when the submission guidelines for that came out, because it's sort of a different flavor for you guys, and I think it's a really awesome idea, but it was really interesting to see that come up on the site.
It is a little bit different. One of the things that we liked about it is because it was different. I will say that I do read in that genre. All right.
Right. What fascinated me about the call is, like, as a writer, I think it's really interesting to explore not just paranormal romance, which gives you kind of, you know, a vague, genre description, but the call was interesting because you were talking about, you know, what would it be like for a human and a paranormal creature to actually try to have a relationship. And that, like, as a writer, that just blows my mind thinking about all the 5 zillion ways that could go. So I thought that was a brilliant idea. Just fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. I've got a chance to, after the selections came back, to read through some of those stories. And there's a lot of fun that was done with these stories. So I cannot wait. And for those who have submitted into that, I'm sitting here with the different results on those coming out. I might have some of those coming out to you in the next day or so.
Very cool, very cool.
So familiar names that will be on that list.
Okay. All right. All right, professional hat back on. Dang it. Jerk.
I've waited all day for that.
Oh my, okay. Jeez, they got me all flustered. Okay, all right. So you skipped ahead of question, and now I'm all confused. Okay, all right. Tell us about, you do a lot besides, you know, everyone knows you as, you know, the State of Horror guy and all of the editing and publishing that you do, but you do a ton to pay it forward in your community. So why don't you tell a little bit about that? Because I feel like every time I look, you know, at your posts on Facebook, you are out there doing something, and it makes me feel like a totally insignificant human being. So way to go, you. But it's just really inspiring. So let's hear about, you know, what do you do? Why do you do it? Why is this such an important thing for you?
One of the it actually started a few years ago. Somebody invited me to go help them fill in at Habitat for Humanity in St. Louis.
I love Habitat.
Somebody couldn't make
it.
I wanted to fill in. I thought this was really neat, but I didn't have another opportunity. Then a company I was working with, we went and did a sales meeting, and the general manager, he said that if we are going to be in a town, we need to give back. So we did another event, and we helped build a house in the Ninth Ward down in New Orleans. The following year, we actually built a park in Virginia at a sales meeting there. And then I didn't get an opportunity to go to the sales meeting anymore because things changed. And I kept thinking what he said to me that day, when you do something, always give it back. So we had a book signing last year. It's one of the local bookstores. It was our first one. And we thought, well, what can we do to give back? So we looked around for food pantries. And we talked to the authors who were in the books, and everybody donated books in, and we made these big baskets and different things, and we had raffles. And for every can you brought in, you had a chance to win. Well, the food drive was very successful. And it was so neat, though.
Cool.
At the end of the day, to load up an entire van full of food. But not only that, but to see the families that it went to. So we were there, and we saw the people that came in, and then it just made us think about it. So I started to get into kind of stress release, running, cycling, doing different things, and each one of those events have an opportunity. So most recent thing I've done was the Tour de Cure for diabetes, and I made the offhanded comment that if I can raise 1,000, I'll do my first 100 miles on a bike. Prior to that, the most I've done is 35.
Oh,
and there's no training for 100 without doing 100. So a couple weeks ago, I got on the bike, and in about 6 hours, rode 100 miles. And it was felt so good to come across the line. And the one thing that my wife said to me was, if you weren't doing this today, the Diabetes Foundation, American Diabetes Association, would not have raised this money. And those are the things where you think of, it's not what I did, but what is it, who's it going to impact? And we have people who are close to us that are impacted by diabetes. And it was something that was kind of, as people were donating, it was like those names and those people were running through my head. It was about the 60th mile when my legs were killing me. And that hill was huge. And I kept thinking, they're dealing with more than I am.
Yeah.
and it helped me get that next mile, that next hill. So I have one more thing that's coming up this year with that, and it's on August 1st. It's for lupus, which is also a kind of it's a disease that affects a lot of people. It's not as marketed, and the right. fundraising for those is not as well known, and that's one of the reasons why. That was my next charity of choice. So I'll be doing 56 miles on August 1st, provided I get over this injury, and that's to raise money for that as well. So it's about giving back, because one person can impact so many people in a positive manner, and it's just looking for those opportunities.
I agree. And for people who want to keep up with you on what you do with your writing, editing, publishing, and how you do give back to the community, I noticed that you are very generous with your life that you share online on Facebook and Twitter. And so I really urge for people to join those accounts with you and follow you throughout your life, because it is very inspirational what you do.
It is.
Riding a bike 35 miles. I mean, not everyone can do that. Not everyone can, you know, do everything you're doing. So I really take my hat off to you for that. Now, while we're talking about life outside of publishing, writing, editing, for people who don't know where to turn when they are authors, writers groups, what can you tell us about writers groups? What kind of support system might a new author find in a writers group?
Oh, there's a lot of areas. Larger cities tend to have multiple groups in them. In the St. Louis area, I will look the other day because to kind of reach out and see, because I had a question similar to this, but it was in a different genre than we work with. And there's so many different groups. Some states have guilds. Some of them have statewide groups. One of the things that I think I would suggest to a new writer is talk to writers. And one of the best places to find them is at a writing convention. I've met a lot of you for the very first time down at Mid-South in 2014, and then I was on the other side of the table at Imaginarium in 2014, and to have a chance to sit down, I met a lot of people who said, I love to write, I'm looking to do something. And I just, you know, what can I do? And they introduce, and they get to interact, and they find different things, and they see what areas that they, you know, where they live in, and realize that somebody else is in the same town or close by who can recommend a group that meets at a library. Those are the things to look at and to find. And they, as I said, most towns, most areas have conventions that are going on, and that gives you a starting point to find out what other things are closer to home. Plus, online, there's a lot of groups. My community and my friends there's no borders. There are people I feel that are in my writing group from Canada and the UK and all over the United States and different points around the world. Because with technology, our groups are much larger. And I think I spend more time talking to people online than I do people who live next door to me sometimes. You laugh, Sailor. You're one of the people. So here.
I know. That's what Mossy's the same way. I know. That's true. I can't even lie. I know. That's very true. Oh my goodness. So I was having so much fun listening to you guys.
well, okay. So the question I have for everyone is, how often have you been talking to somebody and said, you know, I'm having myself dinner. And I say, well, so am I. Okay, so you're having dinner together with somebody who lives five states away, different time zones, and you spend the time. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, talking with your mouth full. You can talk and chew and type all you want. You do need to clean off your keyboards afterwards, because that does get a little messy and causes problems.
Yeah,
but
that's
otherwise,
awful.
You get to share a whole group of people and have fun. But you learn something from everybody. I've learned different things today, you know, just from a conversation with somebody in California. It was just a little tidbit, one thing out of a big conversation. I went, I got to remember that and write that down.
No, you're right. That's very true. You know, it's really kind of, that is the benefit of social media, and it's kind of, when it's used for good, it can really bring creative types together and form the type of community that people may not feel comfortable with in real life. So that is important.
And it helps bring people out. And then I will say that walking in last year to Imaginarium and meeting people that I hadn't personally met in real life and having a chance to sit down and talk with them and go visit their table or see them on a panel and just hear others talk about their experiences, that was priceless. I mean, it was 1 weekend. It seemed like it went too fast. And I'm sure this year is going to be the same way. I'm going to get there and go, this is awesome, and then I got to go home now? What?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Well, with that, speaking of, you know, back to the writing end of things and publishing end of things, as a publisher, what do you look for when accepting manuscripts?
Storytelling. I love storytelling. I think it's one of the things that drew me to books at an early age and still does to this day, is being lost in a story. And whenever I forget that, my daughter, who's 10, will tell me to recount an entire book and tell me about how much fun it is. And I ask her why, and she goes, because I get lost in that world.
Yep.
And that's what I want to escape. I mean, day-to-day stuff, I already experienced that. This is my escape. This is my mini vacation every day, to get lost in some city, real or imaginative, with some tension and horror, to know that at the end of the day, maybe they might win. Maybe they won't. It depends. But it's getting lost in that story. So I think that's kind of, I'm a fan first when it comes to that type of thing. And I feel that the day that I lose that is the day that I have to have somebody else advise me on what to print. Because that's
right.
The key thing.
You know, since that question was asked, there's actually something I want to bring up. The manuscript that I'm editing right now, it might be up your alley, Jerry. Whenever I finish with it, I'll talk with the author and, you know, see what she has planned for it and see if it's what you might want to look at. But it's actually going to be by Tamara Mitchell. And so this is the first time working with her or her creating anything, but so far it's pretty good. And I think that, you know, if the fates see it, you know, it might need to be in your inbox.
always eager to read, to see something new.
Okay.
Now, those who work with me on the schedule will tell you differently. No, you're full.
yes.
Now, but it's new and it's shiny.
As we're talking about publishing and accepting manuscripts, what made you decide on the name that you have for your press? What was it about that came to be?
Well, first thing, I wanted to come up with a name that nobody can pronounce. Or there's 20 different pronunciations for it. Because to me, that is fun. And actually, there are, depends on which dialect that you look at, there's a lot of different pronunciations for it. We typically say Karen Coyne.
Okay.
But Karen was, I was fascinated at a younger age with Greek mythology. And
right.
One of the things that I enjoyed most was not all of the, you know, the titans and the gods and demigods and the fighting. I always wanted to go, can we go back to Hades? Because that's
yes.
a fun place to hang out. And, you know, there's a guy that's there who takes you there, and there's only one way in and one way out, but you don't get to go out because you don't have any more coins. And just the whole mytho about about Karen and you know, the ferryman. I kept thinking when we were going through and bouncing the names around, it was like, well, I want to take this, you know, take a story and then take it on a journey to get to the readers. You know, the end, this is the other side of the river. This is how we want to get there. And then it's kind of started to click. And that kind of is what we always measure everything up. Can we take the story? And are we the right people to take the story so that it gets to the readers' hands and the readers get the best opportunity to enjoy it? So the Greek mytho is kind of was the fun part about it. And since then, I think I have all these little small skeletons and ferrymen all over the place. It seems like all over my office and in different places. So it's been kind of my new fascination. Not obsession. I don't have obsession, just fascinations.
It's very cool. Oh, it's my go, isn't it? Okay. Well, you mentioned Imaginarium earlier, and we all have done a lot of conventions, and it's that time of year. So what conventions can we expect to see you at this year?
Well, this year I had to make some decisions on it, and because we do have a very intense schedule coming up with the releases I mentioned earlier and actually a few others that will be coming out. So I have one more opportunity to go out and play at a convention this year, and it will be in Kentucky. Yeah, I will over at Imaginarium. So I get to go back and hang out with the family again because that's what everybody seems to be there. And this year I will hopefully have a better costume because Indiana Jones, I've done it enough. I need to come up with something new.
You do a great Harrison, yes. I think you should go with a Velociraptor from Jurassic Park.
That would be great, but my daughter would laugh because she's like, it's a carnivore, it's going to eat him. Because that's what she always says when she sees the movies. I mean, she did it 5. So I may actually have something as it gets closer, trying to come up with a list of different characters to be for the masquerade, and then put it to a vote and see what happens.
All right, okay. Very cool, very cool. Lord, we haven't even talked about that yet, but I guess I have to start thinking about that too. Oh, my. All right. Well, as always, it will be. I can't wait to see you. It will be fun to hang out because I feel like, although we talk all the time, I never see you. So it's weird. It's a very weird dichotomy.
And you're not that far away.
I guess I'm not that far away.
She and I live about a 30-minute difference, but the only time we see each other is at conventions. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Missouri, I mean, where Jerry is at, I mean, I actually grew up in Southern Illinois, so I mean, I don't have family there anymore, but I mean, I could probably still find my way around the area, and I literally haven't been back there for, I don't even know, probably over, oh God, since I was like 15, and I'm not 15 now, so it's been a long, long time, and which is depressing, so I guess at some point I need to get back that way.
Well, we changed
eventually.
It that you left. We decided that
you
we
changed
wanted
it?
To surprise you, so we changed it all up. It's nothing the same anymore. It's all for you.
Oh, okay. You moved it all around so I could be surprised.
We put the arch on the other side of the river kind of thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, now I won't know. Matt, is the McDonald's boat still there on the down by the river, or did that go away?
Nope. That went away. It actually went away. I think it might be captured by one of the many floods that we're going to have again.
Okay. Yeah. There goes my childhood. That's sad.
Your childhood is a McDonald's riverboat? You need to tell me that story someday.
That sounds like that should be a convention, like an anthology story. Maybe that'll be my submission to the Missouri book. Oh, okay, all right. This is me, sorry. I'm going down memory lane and not even, why do you keep me doing this? Why am I here? Okay, all right, so With all that in mind, with my rambling and stuff, because obviously I'm not a good person to listen to, and you are. So what advice can you, sir, give new authors?
Well, I guess the best one is read and enjoy reading. Because I think that the reading and the process of just writing, free hands, computer, jotting notes down, put post notes around your walls, write every moment that you can. And all of us have busy lives, so I know that sometimes can get difficult, but trying to do that. And read as often as you can, because if you forget why you love it so much, then your stories will reflect that. I guess the third piece of advice goes back to what you were asking earlier. Find people who love doing like what you love doing. They're online, they're in conventions, they're in bookstores and libraries, they're all over the place. But if you went out and spent one day and told everybody that you enjoyed to write, I pretty much would say that maybe 3 or 4 out of the 10 people that you would talk to would say they do as well. And you may learn something from them. They may have learned a trick. They may have found something. But become part of the community, because as a community, we are stronger as writers, as publishers, as illustrators. And not just stronger, but we're stronger in the support model, because this is a very lonely craft. We sit in rooms.
Absolutely.
We sit off to the side. We're in our own heads, and believe me, mine's a playground, but sometimes I need to be reminded that there's a world outside that I have to associate with. So this gives us an opportunity to talk to other people who, well, play in their head as well.
That's a very good point.
And talk to Alex as often as possible, because he's
also
fun.
Create an Instagram account and interact as much as you can.
Hey, you got me started on that.
It gets
There's
addictive.
Been many that I've deleted because I keep going out. No, I'm not going to share that one. No.
Obviously, I'm missing things. So obviously, I need to expand what I'm doing.
Instagram is just to have fun with it. Post a little bit about your work from time to time. But, you know, overall, just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what I've been doing. I have a couple Twitter accounts, and one's more for my writing and my blog site, and that I don't seem to give enough attention to anymore. But then the other is about, you know, for the press. And I have Facebook pages and groups. And everything's always just about these things. And then I went to Instagram and went, let's just have fun. And so that's kind of where it's been lately. I mean, recently you got to see my feet in Instagram. So that was a fun thing.
I'm obviously missing. Oh, my gosh. Well, that alone, I've got to get over there because, hi. I want in on that.
You want to see my feet? I'll send you personal pictures.
Whoa. It's not like that.
Now, before it gets a little too late and we have to wrap up, let's go on and mention how people can connect with you, Jerry. Let's go on and get everything covered with that. Then we can just kind of talk and chat a little bit more.
Okay. One of the things to connect with me, great place is on Facebook. Just Jerry Benns, BENNS. Can find me there through there. Message me and I can let you know the rest of the places on the personal one. For Karen Coin Press, the website, KarenCoinPress.com, CHARON Coin Press. And you'll get it there. We have our open submissions, our catalog, our different items, and a bunch of fun articles. We're about ready to do a lot of features on the authors for the New Jersey. State of Horror, since the audiobook came out, so we get to learn a little bit of new things about some of the authors that we haven't had before. And then with all the releases, of course, we'll have a lot of different items and giveaways. And soon we're going to have some packages out there with some fun material. And on Twitter, the same, at Karen Coin Press. And through, those are probably the easiest ones to start.
All right.
Very good. We got like 5 minutes, five and a half. What do y'all want to talk about?
Not the weather. I've heard enough about the rain today, so we can move on from the weather. Actually, let's talk a little bit about, September and Imaginarium. Last year was a lot of fun. Enjoyed being there. Enjoyed meeting a lot of people. And since then, I forged new friendships, and I can't wait to see which new people I meet this year. But can you guys tell us a little bit more about it so that the other people can hear what are some of the things that are going on at Imaginarium 2015?
Well, it was absolutely amazing to be at. I did meet quite a few new authors while I was there, did some great networking. I was able to actually interview and speak with Jeffrey Riddick, the director of Final Destination and, well, creator of Final Destination. So that was a really great opportunity. And so when you go to Imaginarium, you're going to meet media guests such as Jeffrey Riddick. I'm not sure if he's actually going to be able to make it this year or not, but that's just an example of the celebrity status that Imaginarium had last year. And also, as you are attending panels, let's say you have a manuscript that you are wanting to pitch and it hasn't found a home yet. Last year at Imaginarium, two of my friends who had only represented themselves independently and not had anyone else help them along, I mean, they did everything. Not being represented by an actual publisher, they were just represented by places like Ex Libris. And the thing is, there was actually a few publishers who said, all right, we're going to do a submission panel, and this is where you get to pitch your story idea to me, and if we like it, we'll go in and sign you. And I actually know two people who went from the status of having no one represent them to having the status of signing a contract and being represented.
Yep. Plus, there are all sorts of different panel discussions and workshops, you know, and not just for genre fiction. We've tried to branch into film. I think they're trying to get into poetry and playwright and some other things as well. So, I mean, you're talking about people. There are people who do audiobooks. There are people who are bloggers. I believe there were some artists and some game developers as well. You're talking all different types of writing. We've, through conventions, actually Sean was at Imaginarium last year, so we have people who worked in comics. We've had all sorts of different people. So whatever your fancy is, you just never know who you're going to run into. And that's why just going around and talking to people and being open to whoever comes to your table or whoever you bump into, you know, in the halls or in the ballrooms or in the bar or wherever is so important, because you just don't know what's going to change the course of your work or the course of your publishing direction, the course of your writing, the course of anything. I mean, it's those weekends are really awesome because it's just a whole bunch of branches of opportunities.
And you guys summed up about every bit of the experience that I had last year, and I'm looking forward to it again this year. So that's kind of the one spot, those places where you get to connect and then build the friendships and, as I said, visit family over the next year or so. So Those are kind of the things I think to looking for those in your town, in your area, is a way to connect with other authors and publishers and learn and grow. So it's a lot of fun too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, as we are wrapping up, I just want to remind everybody, feel free to go to Twitter and tag us in what you're reading at Star Chamber Show and hashtag AmReading. Do that and also check out Imaginarium. It's going to be coming up before we know it, and you might want to go to Facebook and go to the Imaginarium fan page, as well as going to Twitter and going to the Imaginarium Twitter page. and that is IMAGINARIUM.
Yep. And the website, too, enterTheImaginarium.com, has everything there.
Yes. Yes.
All right, guys. It's that time.
Thank you,
thank you
so
very much for being with us here. Oh, thank you for being here. It was a pleasure.